Beverly Hills, Monday, September 13th, 8:07 a.m. Morton sat at a sidewalk table outside a cafe on Beverly Drive at 8 in the morning, waiting for Sarah to show up. His assistant was ordinarily punctual, and her apartment was not far away. Unless she had taken up with that actor again, young people had so much time to waste on bad relationships. He sipped his coffee, glancing at the Wall Street Journal without much interest. He had even less interest after an unusual couple sat down at the next table. The woman was petite and strikingly beautiful, with dark hair and an exotic look. She might have been Moroccan. It was hard to judge from her accent. Her clothing was chic and out of place in casual Los Angeles. Tight-fitting skirt, spike heels, Chanel jacket. The man who accompanied her could not have been more different. He was a red-faced, beefy American with slightly piggish features, wearing a sweater, baggy khakis, and running shoes. He was as big as a football player. He slumped at the table and said,
"I'll have a latte, sweetheart, non-fat grande."
She said,
"I thought you would get one for me like a gentleman."
"I'm not a gentleman," he said. "And you're no fucking lady, not after you didn't come home last night, so we can forget about ladies and gentlemen, okay?"
She pouted.
"Sherry, do not make a scene."
"Hey, I asked you to get a fucking latte. Who's making a scene?"
"But, Sherry..."
"You're going to get it or not?"
He glared at her.
"I've really had it with you, Marisa. You know that?"
"You don't own me," she said. "I do as I please."
"You've made that obvious."
During this conversation, Morton's paper had been slowly drifting downward. Now he folded it flat, set it on his knee, and pretended to read. But in fact, he could not take his eyes off this woman. She was extremely beautiful, he decided, although not very young. She was probably 35. Her maturity somehow made her more overtly sexual. He was captivated. She said to the football player,
"William, you are tiresome."
"You want me to leave?"
"Perhaps it is best."
"Oh, fuck you," he said, and slapped her.
Morton could not restrain himself.
"Hey," he said, "take it easy there."
The woman gave him a smile. The beefy man stood up, fists bunched.
"Mind your own fucking business. You don't hit the lady, pal." "How about just you and me?" he said, shaking his fist.
At that moment, a Beverly Hills cruiser drove by. Morton looked at it and waved. The cruiser came over to the curb.
"Everything all right?" one of the cops said.
"Just fine, officer," Morton said. "Fuck this noise," the football player said, and turned away. He stalked off up the street.
The dark woman smiled at Morton.
"Thank you for that."
"No problem. Did I hear you say you wanted a latte?"
She smiled again. She crossed her legs, exposing brown knees.
"If you would be so kind."
Morton was starting to get it when Sarah called to him.
"Hey, George, sorry to be late."
She came jogging up in a tracksuit. As always, she looked very beautiful. Anger flashed across the dark woman's features. It was fleeting, but Morton caught it, and he thought, something is wrong here. He didn't know this woman. She had no reason to be angry. Probably, he decided, she had wanted to teach the boyfriend a lesson. Even now, the guy was hanging around at the end of the block, pretending to look in a shop window. But at this early hour, all the shops were closed.
"Ready to go?" Sarah said.
Morton made brief apologies to the woman, who made little gestures of indifference. He had the feeling now that she was French.
"Perhaps we will meet again," he said.
"Yes," she said. "But I doubt it. I am sorry. Ça va."
"Have a nice day."
As they walked off, Sarah said,
Who was that?
I don't know. She sat down at the next table.
Spicy little number.
He shrugged.
Did I interrupt something? No, that's good.
She handed Morton 3 manila folders.
This one's your contributions to NERF to date. This one is the agreement for the last contribution, so you have the language. And this one is the cashier's check you wanted. Be careful with that. It's a big number.
Okay, it's not a problem. I'm leaving in an hour.
You want to tell me where?
Morton shook his head.
It's better you don't know.
Century City, Monday, September 27th, 9:45 a.m. Evans had heard nothing from Morton for almost 2 weeks. He could not remember ever having gone so long without contact with his client. He had lunch with Sarah, who was visibly anxious. "Do you hear from him at all?" he said.
"Not a word."
"What do the pilots say?"
"They're in Van Nuys. He's rented a different plane. I don't know where he is."
"And he's coming back?" She shrugged.
"Who knows?"
And so it was with considerable surprise that he received Sarah's call that day.
"You better get going," she said. "George wants to see you right away."
"Where?"
"At NERF, in Beverly Hills."
"He's back?"
"I'll say."
It was a 10-minute drive from his offices in Century City to the NERF building. Of course, the National Environmental Resource Fund was headquartered in Washington, D.C., but they had recently opened a West Coast office in Beverly Hills. Cynics claimed that NERF had done it to be closer to the Hollywood celebrities who were so essential to their fundraising. But that was just gossip. Evans half expected to find Morton pacing outside, but he was nowhere in sight. Evans went into the reception area and was told that Morton was in the third-floor conference room. He walked up to the third floor. The conference room was glass-walled on two sides. The interior was furnished with a large boardroom-style table and 18 chairs. There was an audio-visual unit in the corner for presentations. Evans saw 3 people in the conference room, and an argument in progress. Morton stood at the front of the room, red-faced, gesticulating. Drake was also standing, pacing back and forth, pointing an angry finger at Morton and shouting back at him. Evans also saw John Henley, the saturnine head of PR for NERF. He was bent over, making notes on a yellow legal pad. It was clearly an argument between Morton and Drake. Evans was not sure what to do, so he stood there. After a moment, Morton saw him and made a quick jabbing motion, indicating that Evans should sit down outside. He did, and watched the argument through the glass. It turned out there was a 4th person in the room as well. Evans hadn't seen him at first because he was hunched down behind the podium. But when that person stood, Evans saw a workman in clean, neatly pressed overalls carrying a briefcase-style toolbox and with a couple of electric meters clipped to his belt. On his chest pocket, a logo read, AV Network Systems. The workman looked confused. Apparently, Drake didn't want the workman in the room during the argument, whereas Morton seemed to like an audience. Drake wanted the guy to go. Morton insisted he stay. Caught in the middle, the workman looked uncomfortable and ducked down out of sight again. But soon after, Drake prevailed and the workman left. As the workman walked past him, Evans said, "Rough day?" The workman shrugged.
"They got a lot of network problems in this building," he said. "Myself, I think it's bad Ethernet cable or the routers are overheating." And he walked on.
Back inside, the argument raged, fiercer than ever. It continued for another 5 minutes. The glass was almost entirely soundproof, but from time to time, when they shouted, Evans could hear a phrase. He heard Morton yell,
"God damn it, I want to win!"
And he heard Drake reply,
It's just too risky.
Which made Morton even angrier. And later Morton said,
Don't we have to fight for the most important issue facing our planet?
And Drake answered something about being practical or facing reality. And Morton said,
Fuck reality!
At which point the PR guy Henley glanced up and said, My sentiments exactly, or something like that. Evans had the distinct impression that this argument concerned the Vanuatu lawsuit, but it seemed to range over a number of other subjects as well. And then, quite abruptly, Morton came out, slamming the door so hard that the glass walls shook.
Fuck those guys!
Evans fell into step with his client. Through the glass, he saw the other two men huddle, whispering together.
Fuck 'em!
George said loudly. He paused and looked back.
If we have right on our side, shouldn't we be telling the truth?
Inside, Drake just shook his head sorrowfully.
Fuck 'em,
Morton said again, walking off. Evans said, You wanted me here?
Yes,
Morton pointed.
You know who that other guy was?
Yes, he said. John Henley.
Correct. Those two guys are NERF, George said. I don't care how many celebrity trustees they have on their letterhead or how many lawyers they keep on staff. Those two run the show, and everyone else rubber stamps. None of the trustees really knows anything about what is going on. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a part of this. And let me tell you, I'm not going to be a part of this. Not anymore.
They started walking down the stairs. Meaning what? Evans said to him.
Meaning, Morton said, I'm not giving them that $10 million grant for the lawsuit.
You told them that?
No, he said. I did not tell them that, and you will not tell them that either. I think I'll let it be a surprise for later.
He smiled grimly.
But draw up the papers now.
Are you sure about this, George?
Don't piss me off, kid.
I'm just asking.
And I said, draw up the papers, so do it.
Evans said he would.
Today.
Evans said he would do it at once. Evans waited until they got to the parking garage before he spoke again. He walked Morton to his waiting town car. His driver, Harry, opened the door for him. Evans said, George, you have that NERF banquet honoring you next week. Is that still going ahead?
Absolutely, Morton said. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
He got in the car, and Harry closed the door. Good day, sir, Harry said to Evans. And the car drove off into the morning sunlight. He called from his car. Sarah?
I know.
What is going on?
He won't tell me, but he's really angry, Peter, really angry.
I got that impression.
And he just left again.
What?
He left. Said he would be back in a week, in time to fly everybody up to San Francisco for the banquet.
Drake called Evans's cell phone.
What is going on, Peter?
I have no idea, Nick.
The man's demented. The things he was saying. Could you hear him?
No, actually.
He's demented. I really am worried about him. I mean, as a friend, to say nothing of our banquet next week. I mean, is he going to be all right?
I think so. He's taking a plane load of friends up there.
Are you sure?
That's what Sarah says.
Can I talk to George? Can you set something up?
My understanding, Evans said, is that he just went out of town again.
It's that damn Kenner. He's behind all this.
I don't know what's going on with George, Nick. All I know is he's coming to the banquet.
I want you to promise me you'll deliver him.
Nick, Evans said, George does what he wants.
That's what I'm afraid of.